Okay, so the limit today should be a special nishma sadechav and Reb Yaakov Yitzchak ben Rachaim, as well as discuss for all those in a makom sakana in Eretz Yisrael and those risking their lives to protect it. So we started yesterday talking about halva. We talked about making a loan, and we're going to continue today. We said yesterday that ideally you should lend out to a poor person before you lend out to a wealthy person, even if it's a non-Jew and there's a mitzvah to lend a non-Jew with interest, you should still help out the poor person. He says, it certainly wasn't said that when you have the opportunity to lend to a non-Jew or to lend to a Jew, the Jew comes first. Only someone who is wealthy. So what we're saying is, we're telling the guy, forego the potential interest and do a mitzvah and help out the ani by lending it to him without any interest. Now you're losing out on profit. So we're only saying it to somebody who's wealthy enough that he can afford to forego the profit. And he has enough support, enough of earning of a living from other means. He's lending to the guy not because that's his business, not because that's his main source of parnasa, but because he wants to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's when we're talking about that you should better lend to the Jew without interest before you lend to the guy. But if this is your normal way of making parnasa, then hare amru chayav koydmin, your life comes first, and you would indeed use the money to lend out to someone who and earn the interest, because that's how you make parnasa, even before you're lending out to a poor person. He says, however, he's aware that this is going to open up Pandora's box, because everyone's going to claim that every dollar that I need it to earn a living. I never have enough. If you love money, you're never going to be satisfied. And someone could always find an excuse. I can't help out poor people with interest-free loans. I need the additional money. Who knows what? Who knows it? How that money will come in handy one day. Hashem will investigate this. He knows the truth, whether you can or can't afford to do it. Because it's a person's nature that he always looks out for the best for himself and he's stingy to give away things for free. That's why the Torah gave a very severe warning. When it says, so because there's a mitzvah to lend out money, and we know that Shemitah is Meshamet, Shemitah cancels the loan. So the Torah gives an extra warning that you don't have a thought in your heart that since the year of Shemitah is approaching, that you're not going to give out loans because you're afraid that the guy is not going to pay it back in time and it's going to be wiped out by Shemitah. That if you refuse to make a loan, it's like you're worshiping idols. Because it says over here, Belial, that you'll have an improper thought. It says over there, by Avodah Zarah, Yatzvah Nashim B'nei Belial. So the word Belial is said by both. So based on the severity, if we're comparing not lending out money to someone in need as if it's worshiping Avodah Zarah, so it should give you an idea of how severe it is. Since from the fact that the pasuk says that even though Shemitah's coming, you're not lending him, Ikalamashma, you can learn out from here that even if you have you're justified in suspecting that the loan is going to be canceled because it's right before Shemitah. Still, person should not refrain from lending out, and if it is wiped out because of Shemitah, because Baruch Hu is going to pay you back. So, what's the lesson to us? Okay, we're not necessarily approached all day long, and we're not necessarily faced with these dilemmas of I have limited funds. The bottom line is that when it comes to chesed and when it comes to tzedakah, what we should think about is we should think about all the things that we say, it's mine, I need it, I don't want to share it with other people, I need it for myself. We have to really be honest with ourselves about the things that we claim that we really need, because ultimately, as he says here, Hashem is going to do an investigation and Hashem is going to make a determination whether you really needed that thing for yourself. Of course, if you need it, kayacha koydmin, and there's no reason to go and help someone else out before you help out yourself. But you have to really be brutally honest about whether it's something you really need or not. Now he says, Everything, of course, depends on the person. So he's talking now about setting boundaries and not letting people take advantage of you. So he says, of course, there are boundaries and limits even for tzaddikim. You have to sort of balance it with a scale in your head, in your mind, to ensure that you don't go to one extreme. You should stay in the middle. What's the middle path? It's beautiful for himself and it's beautiful for others. And in Chavis Alvavas, writes, part of the midah of zahiris is not to be overly zahir. Good is the man who's gracious and lends, who can yechalkel devarav, supports matters with mishpat. So it's certainly not smart to make loans just indiscriminately without doing any background checks and just lending out your money without checking whether the people actually need it. So that the principal is going to be wiped out, and all of a sudden you're going to need help from others. So that's what he's saying. It can't just be willy-nilly that you're just lending money out to people or helping people out without verifying their needs, because ultimately you can wipe out your own money, your own funds, and now you're going to need to ask other people for help. The proper path that a person should choose. The proper path is if Hashem gave you more money than you need for your regular parnasa, set aside a portion of these assets in line with the bracha that you receive. Or if you follow the custom of separating ma'aser from every profit, so a certain amount should be made available to lend as a loan. So essentially, there is this idea of setting aside funds from your ma'aser money for interest-free loans for gemilas chasadim, and that money is remains permanently set aside to be used for ma'asim tayvim. And even after you die, you're not going to be free from mitzvahs like others. Your tzedakah will continue to work for you. Essentially, he's talking about setting up an endowment here, where you take money, you set it up to be gemach loans, and then even after you die, the gemach loans continue to be issued, and essentially there's an endowment. The principal continues to be lent out. The mitzvahs continue to accumulate in your column. So even though you passed on from this world, but your money is quote unquote working for you, not working for you in the sense of it's earning money in the stock market that we normally talk about. Your money's working for you, but working for you in the sense that it's getting you more and more schar, even though you've already left this world. So with that, let's hold it here. Mr. Chem, continue tomorrow.